Football Friday on the Fan. How we feeling? Big Super Wild Card Weekend. It's funny, I hate that term, Super Wild Card Weekend, yet I use it all the time. It just shows you the NFL could do whatever they want. They could come up with something so stupid, but if they say it enough, we're just going to repeat it. And so I am falling victim to it. It's Super Wild Card Weekend, even though we don't need a super. It's just Wild Card Weekend.
Yeah, but there's an extra wild card game, so it makes it super.
I know, but we've had it for a few years now. I know. Is it really any super?
No, not really.
You know what I'm very confused by?
It makes the day longer.
It does. Sunday is very long now. I'm very confused by the fact that last year there was a whole Peacock controversy. Remember, we had a Saturday night football game. It was on Peacock.
Chiefs Dolphins. Right,
that's what it was. And everybody was confused. Chris Russo was confused.
Peacock?
Joe Beningo was confused.
I don't want to get Peacock!
And I was looking at the NFL schedule this weekend, and Saturday night's game is not on the Peacock. I was actually going to leave the P out, but I realized that that would probably not go over well. So I'll just call it the Peacock.
What about Peacock?
It's on Amazon Prime. So we do not have a Peacock game in Super Wild Card Weekend?
Peacock. No, you can watch Sunday Night Football on Peacock, but it's also on NBC. No, there's only one streaming-only game. It is Saturday night, Amazon.
So Amazon Prime's got the streaming only, right. No Peacock this year in the NFL.
Right, and I believe there's no controversy because I think of all the streaming, number one, Amazon's had Thursday Night Football for years now. Number two, if you're like a man that watches NFL football, Amazon's the one that you had no choice but to get because your wife probably buys a million boxes.
You already have it already.
Definitely.
Well, I'm going to give you facts, and you guys can do whatever you want with it. In the United States of America, the most popular streaming service is not Amazon Prime Video.
Is it Netflix?
It is Netflix. And here are the exact numbers. And I think
they were
the numbers.
First. It's because they were first.
They had a head start.
Right.
How much percentage of American population do you think is paying for Netflix, which means they have Netflix?
21%.
You're very far off, Tiki.
I was going to say 82%.
No, you're very far off, too.
60%?
47% of Americans have Netflix. Amazon Prime is at 41%. Hulu is at 33%. And then there's a drop-off when you get to Peacock, Disney, Max, and all that. So Netflix is actually number one, but Tiki hit on it. It's because they got the head start.
Right. They forced us to change our viewing habits, and then we got addicted to it.
They did. Yeah, they did. And remember how Netflix started? It was all a service in which in the mail we would get DVDs to watch movies and there'd be no late fees. That was their gimmick.
Right. They were trying to take people away from Blockbuster.
That's right. And obviously we all know what happened to Blockbuster.
Yep.
Here it is. A little late for it.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on the Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. It is Wild Card Weekend. It is Super Wild Card Weekend. So in order of 5 through 1, I'm here to give you, in my opinion, the 5 games most likely to be wild on Wild Card Weekend.
I like it.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five
for me is the Eagles and Packers. We started the season in Brazil in what was kind of a wacky game between these two. And for one of these teams, their season will end versus the same opponent. The Packers, I need to remind you, how shocked were we all on Wild Card Weekend last year when they beat Dallas in Dallas? Nobody saw that coming at the time. Nobody, again, really picking them here. I do think the door is open for another NFC East upset for the Packers. Well, there's potential Sunday.
Yeah, but Watson's hurt, right? He's out for the game.
Yep. And we don't know about Love's injury, too.
I don't even know what it was.
I think it's his elbow, I think.
Yeah, it's something because I heard something about numbness in his hand. It could be nothing or it could be significant. Guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, again, I think the Packer injuries are why I have this at 5 and not higher up the board because, you know, we'll see in picks next segment, but that's kind of how I feel. All right?
Number four
is the game tomorrow to start the day, the Chargers and the Texans. I don't think the Texans are very good. But can I ask around the room, Chargers playoff games in the last 20 years, have they ever stuck to the script?
No.
There's always something weird and wild going on with Chargers games. So I do think the door's open. I think sneaky chance that's a very good game tomorrow to start the day.
There's always been a phrase, I've used it a few times this year too, the Chargers will charge, the Chargers are the Chargers. What I wonder about is Jim Harbaugh, you know, the same head coach that turned Alex Smith from one of the biggest busts in NFL history to competent. The same Jim Harbaugh that somehow got Colin Kaepernick to be the quarterback of a team in the Super Bowl. Is Jim Harbaugh capable enough of changing that verb? Chargers charging. And I'm starting to lean towards the answer being yes.
Yeah, I mean, the turnaround from Staley to this year is just, it's unbelievable. And it's mostly defensive-led, but their quarterback, what's his name, Justin Herbert, does not make mistakes.
Yeah.
He's got like three interceptions on this
season.
Crazy. And Davis receiver is a very good lad.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
Number three.
McConkey.
Yeah. Did you get that one, Evan?
I did. In fact, last night I did a fantasy football playoff draft. And a part of what I love about it is you're not just drafting the best players like it's fantasy football. You're strategizing on what teams are going to survive. Because, you know, if you draft Josh Allen, but he loses in wild card weekend, then great, he gave you a big fantasy day. He's done. And so, Ladd McConkey is somebody that I was very high on and actually drafted early.
Playoff fantasy draft, videos and God knows what. Evan getting a lot of rest at home.
Yeah.
Here we go. Number three. Monday night's game, Vikings-Rams, already moved to a neutral site. Sean McVay's offense versus Brian Flores' defense. And just hear me out on these four names on why I think this game's going to get crazy. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua. I mean, there is potential for big plays and momentum swings all over the field on Monday night.
I can see a bunch of yardage in the pass game in this game.
For sure. All right, here we go.
Number two.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear. Steelers and Ravens, division rivalry, cold weather, 30 degrees. Everybody assumes the Ravens are going to roll in this game, but the Pittsburgh Steelers and Mike Tomlin always seem to have Lamar Jackson's number, and if it wasn't for Russell Wilson throwing up all over himself a couple weeks ago, that game doesn't get out of hand either. Look, anytime I get blood rivals in a playoff game, I think there is absolutely opportunity for chaos.
I'm surprised that one's not number one, simply because of the NFC North, the black and blue division.
Remember,
AFC North, the black and blue division, and how crazy that division just is.
If you're asking me what game I'm most looking forward to, it is Steelers-Ravens because I'm a sucker for NFL tradition and rivalries. But this is what games I think will be the wildest. So without further ado.
Number one.
You guys hit on it earlier. Sunday night, Bucks Commanders.
The Commanders.
Two fun offenses. Baker and his brass set of you-know-what versus Jaden Daniels was an electric play waiting to happen. Total coin flip. I think this game is going to get wild in the fourth quarter. You're also going to have Lattimore versus Evans, that age-old wide receiver corner rivalry. I think this game is going to be a lot of fun. And for anybody doubting picking the Commanders or Jaden Daniels, we went a long time in the league with a rookie quarterback failing to win playoff games. Except for the last 2 years. It has happened in each of the last 2 years with C.J. Stroud and Brock Purdy. Before that, you had to go back to 2012 when Russell Wilson won a rookie game. So now you are back to rookies being able to win these games. The one game I left off, I don't think Bo Nix is doing it, but I think there's an opportunity there. Jaden Daniels versus Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, you completely left off the Buffalo-Denver game. You didn't even include that in your Cinco de Five. You think that's just going to be a dud?
If I was ranking the games on what I think is going to be crazy, look, if Buffalo can't figure out a way to beat Bo Nix and the Broncos their first playoff game at home by 10 or more points, I don't want to hear about them.
That's a tough climb for the Denver Broncos. Now, could they do it? Sure. But I don't predict that one, even though I know that's the one you want, the upset, Evan.
Well, what I said earlier is that if a football god came to me in my sleep, let's say that football god is Tom Landry. Let's say that football god is Bart Starr, because I'm just naming football legends because they're gods, right? They come to me. If Jim Brown came to me in my sleep and he said, Evan, I'm going to give you one football wish, and that wish has to be an upset from this weekend and wild card weekend. So I'm not getting to like put the Jets in the Super Bowl next year, because obviously that'd be my wish. You get one upset this weekend, one football wish. My football wish would be to see Sean Payton, Bo Nix, and the Denver Broncos stun the world, the Bills Mafia, whatever they call themselves. Sean McDermott, that disgusting human being who likes to compare his players to 9/11 terrorists. Yes, he did do that. I would love to see Denver knock off Buffalo. That's my wish. Now, do I think it's going to happen? Probably not. That'd be my football wish.
You know what we're not getting that could have made that possible and why I don't think this game's going to be wild? If there was snow in Buffalo.
Weather, I was going to say.
If there was snow in Buffalo, that Bronco defense could be flying around on him. I think it would totally neutralize the game.
Right. But it's also, it gets cold out in Denver, too.
Yes, but I think the snow, like if you were playing in 4 to 6 inches of snow and the snowballs were getting thrown up in the air, I think it slows everything down. And I don't think Buffalo's offense is going to be able to, the Denver defense is so good.
Right.
Now you're telling Buffalo you're going to be stalled by snow and the defense?
You take away a little bit of their advantage.
But in that one snow game, though, the Bills just ran over the Niners, and they love to run the football. Right. I actually think Denver would have a better shot without the snow. I think they're more alive in a game like this without the weather.
Which team have you seen the most of, Teak, for all the games that you call this year? Would it be the Texans?
We had the Texans twice, Baltimore twice. We had Buffalo twice. No, maybe once. Philly twice. It's a good. I mean, I think it's probably Houston because we had them a bunch last year as well. So my familiarity is mostly with Houston.
Yeah, that's the game, and it's funny what happens to the Texans. So there's a tradition in the NFL. When the Texans make the playoffs, and of course making it in back-to-back years, and before that they had a good run before blowing it up, they are locked in to Saturday at 4:30. It's actually remarkable. Like, every time the Houston Texans make the playoffs, it's almost like they've copyrighted Saturday at 4:30, which I guess shows you what the NFL and the TV networks think of the Houston Texans. But I'm telling you, look it up. Every time they've made the playoffs, they have played the Saturday 4:30 game.
Yeah, and I'm surprised, too, because it's an earlier, it's 1 o'clock for the Chargers. Not that the LA fans are focused on anything but the wildfires that are going on out there, but the Chargers, it's a West Coast team playing the early game. It'd be interesting if they put them in the late window because then it would have been a 7 o'clock game.
They don't want to put them in the late window because they don't think it's as appealing.
Right, but it would have been a 7 o'clock game. And I mean, clearly, if you're going to put the choice between the Steelers and the Ravens, you're going to put the Steelers and the Ravens in the primetime slot simply because of the rivalry. But logistically, I think it's just easier if the Chargers and the Texans were playing the late game, because it's an earlier game in both Houston and obviously airing in L.A.
Yeah. Let's get to some of your calls. We'll make our NFL picks in less than 10 minutes. 888-808-1019. Pete is calling from New Jersey. How are you, Pete?
What's up, Pete?
Hey, how we doing? Tiki, as a lifelong Giant fan, I appreciate all you did for us.
Thank you, man.
My big question was, NFL made a choice to go to Arizona. Meanwhile, Las Vegas is only 2 hours closer to L.A., so right. I don't know why they did that choice.
I would guess there's something else going on in Las Vegas this weekend. And so it just became harder to book that stadium. Whereas in Glendale, Arizona, there's probably not a lot going on right now. Like, their stadium isn't multi-use. There's not a bunch of stuff going on in town. Maybe a concert. I don't know. We'd have to look.
By the way,
and see if there's a concert going on in Las Vegas at that.
I'll throw something else out there that seems so simple, but I've heard this in the past: hotel rooms, like something as simple as availability.
Right,
like Vegas is such a bustling city that just because you're an NFL team doesn't mean you get to demand your own hotel. You can just have others canceled. So it may just have been the logistics of Glendale, Arizona versus Las Vegas, Nevada, not necessarily picking Glendale, Vegas, Nevada.
It's definitely closer. There's no doubt about that. But
sure.
Also, I mean, if the NFL had done what they did in Glendale, that is, offer tickets to the Rams and the Cardinals, if they had done that in Las Vegas, would the Raiders fans have cared?
But why would the Cardinal fans care? Because they're in the division?
Just because it's there. It's local.
There's more to do in Vegas than go to a football game.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Care about.
Like, hey, there's a game coming in town. Well, actually, you know what? But think about all the tourists that are there.
That's true.
Yeah. You might just be like, hey, what the hell? Let's just go to a football game. It'll cost us $150 bucks or $200 instead of going to whatever show you're going to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I asked the question earlier, and I know this would never happen, so it's a hypothetical that we can never be proven. If all of a sudden MetLife Stadium got to host a neutral site NFL playoff game, how many of us would show up? Forget about those that are traveling. Like, would we say, oh, it's the Chargers against the Texans at MetLife Stadium, let's go? Now, I understand because of weather, that would never, ever happen. But I'm just skeptical that people would go.
Yeah.
Maybe it's more about us that we are so centered on our teams that we don't care enough to go watch anybody else. Yeah.
No, I think you're right. You're right.
But I just have this feeling like we would not go. It would be a bunch of people flying in from one of those cities that would be going. That'd be my gut. Let's go to Diego in East Meadow. Thank you, Diego, for waiting. How are you, sir?
Hey, no problem. You guys were just talking about it. I got an email from the Cardinals, probably because I'm a loser Giants fan that's followed them around. So I think they're reaching out to people. The get-in price, no fees or anything, directly from them is $100, and you can sit behind the Vikings bench for two tickets. It looks like $2,100. So I don't know if that game's going to sell out.
Wow. That's interesting. And wait, they're reaching out to you simply because you went to a Cardinals game?
So I bought tickets from the Cardinals directly. I think it was like 2 years ago now, like the second game of the season. And I guess I signed up for the email list, and they sent me the pre-sale thing. So I was checking that out when I was sitting on hold all afternoon for you.
Oh, that's it. But you're not a Cardinals fan, right?
No, I'm a Giants fan, right. But I bought the tickets from the Cardinals.
Oh, that's interesting.
They keep those emails forever, man.
That's right. That makes sense, though. Hey, you once bought tickets from us. Would you be interested?
Right.
It's not a bad philosophy.
Exactly. But let's go to the opposite of playoff football and talk about this loser franchise that is the New York Giants. So I'm going to play by your rules. I'm not going to mention the cornerback's name that got released in the middle of the season because apparently we can't say it.
Thank you, Diego.
Yeah, you're welcome. But, like, that's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is when you think it's bad, it gets and worse and worse. And more stuff keeps coming out about this team that you don't hear about any other team. I'll start with, like, a couple months ago. Like, apparently they called ESPN and they didn't like the way L. Duncan covered, the Daniel Jones thing.
Yeah.
Then they call a podcast, the Talking Giants Boys, and they tell them they were too critical of the GM and the head coach.
Yeah. I'll just back up real quickly. The ESPN one didn't happen. I talked to Pat Hanlon about that. He said that was a bold-faced lie, that they were just – ESPN made that up.
All right, well, what, the Talking Giants thing wasn't made up.
Yeah. What is that one? What was that?
That was where you appeared, the John Boy guys, Bobby and Justin.
Yeah, I know, but what happened with that?
So Bobby did a long video on YouTube, a half an hour, detailing why, in his opinion, he's come to the determination Joe Shane should be fired. And there was a night after one of their bad losses where Bobby told me Pat called him and said, basically, I've tried to help you guys out in the past. If you don't take this down, I'm done.
Mm.
And that's where it was left.
And what that is, and thanks for the call, man, that's sensitivity.
Yeah.
And right now the Giants, they stink. Like, everybody knows that. They're bad. And so with that's going to come criticism. And I think talking about Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and their job is not unfair criticism. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what fans do. That's what talk show hosts do. Right. That's what we all do.
But it also depends on how you do it.
Yeah, no, their video was great. I don't think they said anything untoward. It was a very careful study on the job Joe Shane has done, which is undeniably bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, except for this year's draft.
Right. That's one aspect of it. There's a lot of aspects to it, right? Free agency, you talked about it, building depth. And ultimately, you got to win games. Look, I don't think the Giants being ultra sensitive to criticism they face is that big of a deal. Like, it's a bad look and they shouldn't do it. But I think what's concerning is, and this is the only question to me that matters, and it's for all of us to determine, can this administration be a part of the solution? That's it.
Right.
Can Joe Shane's good draft from last year be enough to make you believe he's going to find the future quarterback, he's going to continue to build this roster, and they're going to win? And that ultimately is all that matters. It's all that matters to the Talking Giants guys. It's all that matters to Sean and Loogie. It's all that matters to any Giant fan. Are they the solution? And right now, for a lot of Giant fans, it's tough to believe that they are.
Right. I mean, they just have to win. We talked about this earlier. You said they're going to get evaluated by wins and losses, period. That's all that matters. Everything else is just noise.
That's it, baby. We'll come back and make our NFL picks for Wild Card Weekend. Are you ready? After a long year of watching and talking about bad, bad football, we get to watch good football this weekend. We get to not be stressed out by how bad the Jets are, how bad the Giants are. It's Wild Card Weekend. And before we make our NFL picks, I want to say that as the regular season champion... As the regular season champion, finishing with 50-37 record, a challenge was sent my way. Sal Licata, the regular season champion of the midday show, wanted to challenge me and challenge whoever won the morning show, but I'm not sure they keep track of the morning. And I would like to inform Sal, I accept his challenge. I heard earlier on middays that in me accepting the challenge, it was going to be like their picks versus our picks. I do not accept that because, quite frankly, I'm not facing Pete Hoffman in picks or Brandon Tierney in picks because I'm a champion and Sal's a champion. That would be like the Yankees facing the Padres in something after the World Series. No, it's the Yankees against the Dodgers. So with all due respect to Tiki and Sean and Lugie, we're all going to make our picks. But in terms of midday versus afternoons, it is Sal versus Evan, and that's it. And we on our own will determine what's on the line. I got no problem. Whatever it is, I'll put it on the line. But Sal Licata, I accept your challenge. Now, I didn't listen to your pick, so I have no idea what you picked earlier today, other than that whole idea of afternoons as a whole versus middays as a whole. That's a waste of time. I'm not doing that because Tiki didn't win anything. Sean didn't win anything. Why should they be up against you guys? BT didn't win anything. Hoff didn't win anything. As far as I'm concerned, everyone else is a loser besides me and Sal. So me and Sal for a championship. I accept, Licata. I accept. With that said, I do want to point out that last weekend, week 18 in the NFL, we all had crappy weekends except for Tiki Barber. Tiki went 2-1 over said weekend. The rest of us went 1-2. So here are your final regular season standings. 50-37, that's me. 48-39, that's Lugie. Now, a very good year, Tommy, by the way. I commend you. You showed a lot of battle. You showed a lot of poise. You came up just a tiny bit short. Just a little bit short. A tiny bit short. Oh, it's a bitsy short. But 48-39 is a great year. It's a cute year.
Yeah, I appreciate you patronizing me. That's
no problem. Yeah. You got it, buddy. Sean Morash was 34-53, and Tiki Barber was 32-55. Because of those results, here are the penalties. Tiki Barber is being forced to sell T-shirts outside of a Knicks game. That T-shirt will feature Tommy Lugauer's very incorrect tweet about Jalen Brunson and not wanting him to be signed by the New York Knicks. And I think, Sean, correct me if I'm wrong, the tweet was this would be typical Knicks if they signed Jalen Brunson.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's likely going to happen at Barclays.
Yeah, we're working on some details.
We'll figure it out, but I can't wait to do that.
Tiki's going to sell, right? His penalty is something he can't wait to do.
Why do you think I tried to lose this year?
That's right. It was a strategy. And Sean Morash, much later on down the road, when we do the kickoff to summer event, will be in a dunk tank. And I know that's something the audience is looking forward to. We haven't decided what's in the dunk tank, whether it's just water or it's some other liquid, maybe syrup. Maybe oil. I don't know. We haven't determined that yet. That will be determined by the committee. I don't know who's on that committee, but that committee will determine it. Committees are very powerful.
You can always just go jump in the ocean, Sean.
Yeah, you can do that.
You know the temperature of the ocean on Memorial Day weekend?
Very frigid.
Oh, yeah.
I was in the pool!
You know what? Good excuse for me to jump in the ocean.
So those are our rewards and penalties, but let's make these picks. Let's talk some football. And of course, our picks are brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the NFL and the New York Giants. Bud Light, easy to Sunday, easy to enjoy. By Elec A25, building our future, and by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Visit samwellpain.com. So here are the lines that we have for these five games this weekend, and I guess we'll all go by these lines. This is the latest from FanDuel. The Chargers are laying 3. The Ravens are laying 9.5. The Bills are laying 8.5. The Eagles are laying 4.5. And the Bucks are laying 3. We good on those lines, fellas?
I'm good with it.
Good. And right, I'll kick things off as the champion. Game number one. Look, I have been so used to the Chargers charging, as I described earlier. I think Jim Harbaugh changes everything. Their defense has been excellent this year. Justin Herbert has avoided those big mistakes. And the Texans have had this kind of year where, let's be honest, the only reason they're in the playoffs is because of the division. That's the only reason. I think this is destined to be the Justin Herbert, Jim Harbaugh breakout party. And I think they're a major threat to knock off Kansas City, but that's for later down the road. So in game number one, I'll lay the 3 points with the Chargers on the road. Give me the Chargers laying 3 in Houston in the Texans. That's game number one. Game number two. This season began, in fact, some may say, what really led me to my regular season championship was early on identifying the Pittsburgh Steelers as a team that was going to get off to a good start, cover a lot of numbers, and win. And they really buoyed me. Buoyed me? Yeah, buoyed me to my really good start. So I want to thank Mike Tomlin. I want to thank Justin Fields. I want to thank the Pittsburgh Steelers for all the success I had with them earlier this season. But on Saturday night in Baltimore, they're going to get destroyed. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to give you a few examples. Number one, during this Mike Tomlin losing streak that he has in the postseason, do you realize that their defense, and by the way, every year their defense has been a top 5 or top 10 unit. It's not like the Steelers' identity during this run has ever been all about scoring a ton of points with a crappy defense. During this 5-game losing streak in the postseason, they have allowed, I'm not making this up, 45 points, 48 points, 42 points, even last year against Buffalo, 31 points. Every year when they're in the postseason, they're not just losing, fellas. They're giving up an inordinate amount of points. And I think that's going to continue in Baltimore against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Even with the injuries around Baltimore right now, Zay Flowers is out. He should return in 2 weeks. I think this is going to be an absolute romp. You would be scared by the number. I'm not. And I hate to say it. And I'll give you another prediction that I think Teek's going to like. Russell Wilson's not finishing this game. And I don't mean that because of injury. I mean because Mike Tomlin is going to make a quarterback change at some point. Give me the Ravens in game number two, laying the 9.5 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Game number three, early Sunday afternoon in Buffalo. Look, I've made this very clear today. If a football god came down to me and said, Evan, I give you any upset this weekend, what do you want? There's nothing more I want to see than Sean Payton, Bo Nix, and the Denver Broncos shock the Buffalo Bills. That's not going to happen, though. I think this is going to be an absolute romp. I think Bo Nix is going to struggle big time in his playoff debut. And I think what we're going to say after this game is over is, Buffalo didn't beat anybody. This was a Denver team that was a little bit ahead of its time, a little bit ahead of schedule, I think is the right phrasing, and they just walked into a buzzsaw. And unfortunately, 1 o'clock in Buffalo, with those disgusting, drunk Bills Mafia members, they're walking into a buzzsaw. I think Josh Allen's going to give you an MVP performance. I think Bo Nix turns the ball over 3 times, and I think the Bills are winning by, a lot. Give me the Bills laying the 8.5 in game number 3. Game number 4, the Philadelphia Eagles at home against the Green Bay Packers laying 4.5. We mentioned it earlier. Jalen Hurts has been cleared. He's going to play. There are some injury questions around Jordan Love. Here are the real questions about the Green Bay Packers. Are they any good? Because when the Packers have been tested against good opponents, against playoff opponents, they've proven to be frauds. By the way, if I'm making my ranking list on the football god gave me one upset, obviously it'd be Buffalo-Denver. My second pick would be Green Bay knocking off Philadelphia. Because as a good red-blooded New Yorker, I don't need Eagle fans advancing into the second round. The problem is they are. And Saquon Barkley's going to be a monster. And that's going to cause Sean Morash to spend way too much time on Twitter arguing with Eagle fans. Give me the Eagles laying the 4.5 in game number 2 as they're going to knock off the Packers and they're going to do it easily. Let's get to game number 3. This is the game of the weekend. Sunday night in Tampa, the Bucs against the Commanders. I got to tell you, I go back and forth on this. I really do. Because, look, Baker Mayfield had this outstanding year. But one thing I know that people don't want to admit is that Todd Bowles is going to find a way to screw it up. I know that. I've seen that. But then I got Jaden Daniels, who's still a rookie quarterback, and Dan Quinn's going to find a way to screw it up. Remember the Super Bowl? So, I keep going back and forth on what I think is going to happen, and my edge kind of goes to miserableness, like me being miserable. And I think that the Buccaneers winning will actually bother me, because then I got to hear, Tommy tell me, hey, Todd Bowles, see? So I think the Bucks are going to win a close game. The number's at 3, which gives me pause. I think they'll clear that number. So I'm going to take all the favorites this weekend. I never do that, but I feel it this weekend. Give me the Buccaneers laying the 3 at home against Washington. I am going 5 for 5 on favorites. That may change on Monday. The Chargers laying the 3 in Houston. The Ravens laying the 9.5 at home against Pittsburgh. The Bills laying the 8.5 at home against Denver. The Eagles laying the 4.5 at home against Green Bay. And Tampa laying the 3 at home against the Commanders. My picks for wild card weekend in the NFL. Tiki Barber, take it away.
That was a lot of analysis. I'm going to be a lot similar. Look, I think the Chargers are the better team here. So give me them laying the 3 points. And look, I think defense is going to carry the weekend in a lot of ways. So the Chargers have a better defense than I think we even think about because we don't watch a ton of their games being on the West Coast unless you're a football head. The Texans are flawed offensive line-wise, so I think the Chargers go come away with this victory and obviously cover the 3. But I'm going to go for the next couple. These are big numbers, and the Steelers have a good defense, and the Broncos have a good defense. And I don't think that the Ravens or the Bills are going to necessarily run away. You shorten these games. So give me the Steelers plus 9.5, and also the Broncos plus 8.5. Then for the Eagles, I do think the Eagles, with a compromised Green Bay offense, are going to run away from them. Literally going to run away from them on the ground and other ways. They've done it against some of the good teams in the league, especially down the stretch. So I like the Eagles laying a 4.5. And then the Buccaneers, this was a toss-up. You're right, Evan. I mean, the number's 3 for a reason, and it's, you know, theoretically, you get 3 simply because of your home. I think that's why the Bucks are laying 3. I would actually wish this was more like a push or a pick 'em because it feels like that kind of game. But I'm going to take the Bucks at home laying the 3.
So you're taking the Chargers, the Steelers, the Broncos, the Eagles, and the Buccaneers, correct?
That is correct.
All right, here we go. By the way, if you've been watching us on SNY, stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York presented by Tri-State Cadillac. That's coming up next on SNY. Let's move to Tommy Lugauer. Tommy, your picks for Wild Card Weekend.
All right, just to be clear here, Evan does take a lot of favorites, even though he claims he doesn't. He often takes favorites. That's number one. Number two.
I will give you the statistics on Monday to prove you incorrect.
Guaranteed you take a lot of favorites. Trust me. We've fought about this forever. You take a lot of favorites, and you win, but you do take a lot of favorites.
By the way, Lugie's answer to information is, trust me, bro. Like I said, on Monday, I will give you the facts to back up whether he's right or wrong. Oh, I'll give you numbers.
I gave you a homework assignment. Game number one.
Because I got a lot of spare time.
Exactly. You're welcome. Game number one. This is a gross pick. An absolutely gross pick. I'm going to take the Texans plus 3. Couple things. Everybody's going to be on the Chargers. Houston last year played a playoff game where everybody picked the Browns. Houston ended up winning the game outright. Everybody's down on the Texans. No shot they'll win. They have no chance. This is going to be a walkthrough. Harbaugh, Chargers. Everybody loves the Chargers. So I'm going to be the contrarian here and take the Texans just based on that. Just on the fact that I think everybody's on the Chargers and we'll get one like kind of surprise this weekend. So I'm going to take the Texans game number one plus 3.
By the way, just real quick, I've only gone back the last 3 weeks. 70% of the time I take the underdog. So far you're off to a terrible start with your prognostication on what I take. Want to take the L now or do you want me to keep going and give you those numbers later?
Can I give him the L, Evan?
He should just take the L on this one. That's true, yeah. You may have to take an L on this, Tommy.
I think you take a lot of favorites. I don't. Maybe I might be wrong.
Oh, he's backing off. I'm going to make this very clear to you.
I regret even bringing this up.
I will give you the L
right now. It's over my face. So I'm just
okay. All right. You have a chance to back off this notion right now, or I can go further. But if I go further and prove I don't
take
favorites.
I'll back off. Just thank for you. Your own sanity here. All right. So game number two.
Thank you.
Saturday night, Amazon Prime. I'm with Evan. I think the Steelers get boat race in this game. I think the Ravens. So I have the Chiefs as a prediction to get to the Super Bowl and win it. I also have it in future bets. But I'm starting to think if anybody doesn't make it, if the Chiefs don't make it, it's going to be the Ravens. I think this is a team that a lot of people kind of gave up on. I think their secondary has gotten a lot better. And I think it's time that Lamar Jackson shows who the hell he is. Plus, Derrick Henry has added a totally new layer to this offense. I think they roll through the Steelers on Saturday night in game number two. Game number three, same thing. I think the Bills have their way with the Broncos. And I think the Broncos are going to be a trendy underdog pick here because a lot of people are going to say, wow, they destroyed the Chiefs, not knowing that the Chiefs rested basically all their starters. So I think the Bills have their way with the Broncos. Give me the Bills, laying the 8.5. I'm going to actually skip the second game here of the day, and I'm going to go to the Sunday night game. Washington's had a lot of... I think it's going to strike midnight for them, but every time I'm ready to write them off, they haven't been the same team sort of in the second half of the year. They find a way. Now, they make a lot of their own luck because of their great quarterback, but their first playoff game, I just think the Bucs are going to be, for Daniels, I think the Bucs are going to be ready here, and I think they're going to win this game. It'll be close. It'll be fun. I think it'll be high scoring, but I'm going to take the Bucs -3. Now, the one that we're most interested here as New Yorkers, as Giant fans, Eagles-Packers, 4:30. It'll be probably the highest-rated game of the weekend. As much as my heart says Packers, as much as, and I think Sean brought this up earlier, the Packers beat the Cowboys last year in an upset. I just think the Eagles are going to roll here. I do. I think Saquon's going to have his moments in the playoffs. Even though Hurts has been out, it feels like a month here with the concussion. Maybe he'll be a little rusty, but Teak brings it out and brings it up all the time here. The bread and butter of the Eagles is to run the football. They'll run the rock. They'll run it down the throats of the Packers. I think the Packers will let go of the rope late in the game. The Eagles will roll here. Give me the 4.5. So I'll lay the 4.5 with the Eagles. I'll take the 3, lay the 3 with the Bucs. After I told Evan he's going to take favorites, and I'm going to take all the favorites. Bills -8.5. Ravens -9.5, and the one dog I am taking are the Texans at home +3.
One thing I've learned in life is when people accuse you of something, they usually do it. So what I'm going to do no matter what, you don't have to wear an L for it, is I'm going to prove that Loogie has taken more favorites than me during this season.
Well, the reason I brought it up, Evan, if anybody's fans of the show we used to be on in this show, we used to fight a lot during the picks, and I think that's because I went with more of underdogs, more sharper picks, and I felt like you went with more favorites. My memory might not be accurate in this one, and the fact that you said you're already 70% makes me think I'm going to lose, because am I making up that number?
Look, here's the reality. Here's the reality, and I kind of understand it. I always beat you.
You do.
And it bothers you.
I find it hard to believe that you win every year. That annoys me.
I find it hard to believe, too, but it's like every single year I win.
I don't know why.
I hate to get analytical, Evan. I think it's best if you and Loogie probably argue over the non-Jets and Giants games, whether you take underdogs or favorites, because the Jets and Giants are always underdogs, and that skews the number.
All right. I won't include Jets and Giants when I do my study. But anyhow, Sean, get to your picks. You had a great year. You finished 19 games under 500. We all need to hear your picks.
When we're not picking Jets and Giants games, like I was the best in the playoffs last year on the show, I'll be the best in the playoffs this year. Yes, that's right. I remember that. Game number one, I'm with Loogie. I'm on the Texans getting the 3 points. I'm getting home points here. I think Nico Collins is going to have a day. And honestly, I think the Charger practice schedule, from everything I read, has been disrupted by this wildfire. I think that's going to factor into what I expect to be a close game. Give me the Texans getting 3. Game number two, it's just too many points. I think the Ravens are going to win the game. But if the Ravens win the game 27-20, I cover with 8.5 points. I just refuse to believe a Ravens-Steelers game is going to turn into a rout in the postseason. So I'm on Pittsburgh getting the 9.5 in Baltimore. Game number three to start the day. I think it's the most unwatchable game of the weekend. I think it's going to be one giant party with everybody singing shout in Buffalo. Give me the Bills laying 8.5. And Bo Nix taking this as a big learning curve going into year number two. Look, the Packer-Eagle game, 4.5 for the Eagles. The Eagles will meet their comeuppance in the playoffs. They will. They will not be hosting that Lombardi trophy. They will not be having a parade. But I cannot go with my heart in week one. I can't trust the Packers. Give me Philadelphia laying the 4.5, getting out of wild card weekend. And last but not least, a game I am very much looking forward to. Can I give you a little prediction, Evan? A little hot seat prediction. Don't go to sleep at halftime of this game. You're going to want to. Because Dan Quinn and the Washington Commanders are going to hold a 28-3 lead. And here come the Bucs and Baker Mayfield never giving up. Mike Evans here, Bucky Irving here. And in overtime, the Bucs will win a game by 6 points, covering the spread, a game that they trailed 28-3 in. Give me the Bucs laying 3 on Sunday night.
Oh, boy, I like that one. That's a good prediction. I like that prediction.
A little fun one.
So there are two games in which we all agreed. Philadelphia laying the 4.5 and Tampa Bay laying the 3. So as New Yorkers, we've come up small because all of us are picking the Eagles. So, very disappointed in that.
In the times we did that this year, what was the record where we were all across the board? Do you have that written down?
Yeah, it started off bad and then it got good. So there's really no...
I think we finished 3-3.
Yeah, it was where it was inconsequential. There's no, hey, we're all going a certain way, let's fade it or whatnot.
Yeah, but I think we could all... It started bad when we
It did. I think it started 0-3 and then we got the next three right or something like that.